This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Marino Bracco. How are you, Marino?
Very well, indeed.
Excellent, excellent. You're a sommelier and a sommelier for a three-star Michelin restaurant, which is, I think, must be one of the... Is there any more? Do you get any more stars than three?
No, we have a three-star. At the moment, we are the only Italian restaurant outside of Italy with three Michelin star.
Yeah.
So, and I am proud to be the general manager and the sommelier of Hotel Mezzo Bombana.
Are you the general manager as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're looking after all the front-end staff?
All the operation. Of course, I have my colleague helping me.
Yeah.
Because it's a quite fast and busy city, Hong Kong, so it requires a few people to look after one restaurant.
So it's your restaurant is in Hong Kong, and the restaurant's called the...
Otto e Mezzo Bombana.
Otto e Mezzo Bombana.
Otto e Mezzo is from the famous movie of Federico Fellini, and Bombana is the name of the chef,
okay,
founder and owner.
Okay, and that... The restaurant's got, there's a number of different restaurants that are owned by the same group, isn't it?
Yes, there are a few restaurants. Of course, Chef Bombana is involved in Otto e Mezzo Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Macau.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they've got stars as well?
Yes, Shanghai got two stars, and Macau got one star.
Ah, lovely. So quite successful then, the chef?
Yeah. It's a good legacy, and we are the referral point for the Italian wine, of course, and Italian hospitality in Asia.
Yeah. Stage. Yeah, lovely, lovely. I've been to Hong Kong in the past, and it's quite an intense city, isn't it?
Yes, I like to say it's intense, it squeeze your energy a lot, but it's very proportional with the satisfaction that it gives to you.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? So you enjoy your job.
Sometimes you have a lot of stress and tiring things, and no satisfaction. Hong Kong is totally the opposite. It makes you tired, but it gives you a lot of satisfaction. It's a city that is alive every day with the beautiful people, beautiful customers. So it motivates you every day.
Oh, lovely, lovely. I just want to tease out a little bit about your history. I don't want to spend too long on it, but I understand you started out as a sommelier when you were 14?
No, I started in hospitality when I was 14.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, because 14 is a little bit young for drinking.
No, at 14 I didn't have much idea about wine. But, of course, I did a lot of years working in hospitality. And then, of course, when you focus in hospitality, you decide to get one way or two way. And I took both way, management and wine, mm-hmm. Which I brought for all my entire career. And, of course, the first couple of jobs as a sommelier when I moved in the 2007 in Australia.
So you moved to, when did you go to Australia?
In the 2007.
Okay.
And I stayed there for 8 years.
8 years.
Five and a half in Sydney and 2.5 years in Melbourne.
Oh, I like Sydney. Sydney is like a city I love.
Both a great city and beautiful weather in Sydney.
Yep. A little bit hot in summer, but you're Italian, so it's probably fine.
Yeah, no, Hong Kong is hotter than that. So.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Where were you working in Sydney?
In Sydney, a few restaurants, just because the reason why I moved to Sydney, Australia, it was to improve my English and to touch up myself, to become a professionist in this job and to have an international profile. And so I built myself in the first couple of years in a few restaurants, jumping from one restaurant to the other. And then my first big position was in Millevini, was a beautiful wine bar in Surreals in Crown Street, where I stayed there for 3.5 years, working as a venue manager and looking after all the list, which was 1,000 bottles.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's quite... Yeah, that is a lot of wine, though, isn't it?
Yes,
1,000
exactly.
Bottles.
1,000 label, yes. It was quite good because I could learn very fast, and also I had I improve myself in the stock, how do you say, how to control a big stock of wine.
Yeah, stock management.
Yeah, stock management. This was what, that was very important for me.
Okay.
And from them, from that, I launched my career.
Okay. And I listened to your presentation yesterday, and you said something along the lines of, you stayed in Australia as long as you could, and you had almost every visa you could possibly get.
Yes, yes. From working holidays, student visa, sponsorship visa, few of them actually, sponsorship visa.
Yeah.
Yes, no. It was a great gym of life, as I said yesterday, because in Australia there is people that come to learn English, so they come to work in the restaurants, and you have 10 different nation sometime in your staff, so you need to learn how to speak with every one of them in a way that don't get upset, and how to motivate them, which is you motivate people in a different way. So it was very good for my career.
Yeah, no, it sounds... I've never really thought of being a sommelier as a way of improving your English, but it is a good way of doing that, isn't it? Because you do need to talk to all sorts of people all the time.
Of course. This is... It's very important to talk for us. It's very important, even though I try to don't talk too much, like a lot of sommelier, but go straight to the point.
Okay, straight to the point. That's good. You went to Hong Kong, and how did you meet Mr. Bambino?
After 8 years that I was in Australia, I heard about this restaurant. It was a 3 Michelin star, and basically I wanted to try. I went to try in Hong Kong, and I met Chef Bombana also, which after proposed me a job. And at that point, I wasn't thinking about anything because I was going in holiday to Italy. It was just a stopover, and yeah. My mind was already in holiday. I wanted to talk about everything, but not about jobs.
Yeah.
And then he contacted me after a couple of days and insisted to have an interview. And after 2 months, I was there working.
Oh, lovely, lovely. So did you start out as the head sommelier?
Yeah, I started as a chef sommelier. And straight after I started, the general manager, previous general manager, left the place. And they saw my CV was also strong on the management. And they wait for me for 6 months. So we work 6-7 months only with 2 restaurant managers and with no general manager. And after 8 months, I took the promotion as a GM also.
Were you working in that role during that 6 months as like a probation? Or?
Yeah, I did a preparation, but mostly preparation, not in the role, but to get used to Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
Just to don't bar myself straight away. I take it easy in the beginning, just looking after the list and looking after certain aspect of the restaurant, and then I took over after 6-8 months, let's say.
Yeah, okay. Are you on the floor much, you know, as a general manager?
Yes, as all the maitre d', general manager of a 3 Michelin star, the presence is very important. Mm. And we have a lot of customers, a lot of VIP, they come to the restaurant to see us, to see the show, to be spoiled from us. And I am always present as a chef is present always in the operation. We like to be there, we like to please, we like to spoil and to... give an experience to our customer.
Mm. So how long have you in total been a sommelier now?
Let's say my first job as a sommelier 2007.
Okay, so in Australia?
Yes, in Australia.
Yep.
So we're talking about around 11, 12 years. But in hospitality, in total, is 24 years.
How old are you?
I am 38. I start when I was 14.
Yeah.
Working the weekend and, of course, full summertime. And then when I finish my school, I start to work full-time.
A lot of people who are sommeliers, they're very good, but they tend to, as they get older and they start having families and things like that, it's difficult because the hours are very long, aren't they?
Yes, the hours are very long, but, you know, We are professionists, and thanks God I have a wife that used to do this the same job as me, and she understands and she supports for that 100%.
Is she a night owl? Does she enjoy being up in the evenings as well?
No, she well, actually the little time you have to look after yourself, especially in a city like Hong Kong. A professionist in our job, manager or sommelier, you need to look after a lot yourself because the time goes so fast that when you are off, you need to look after yourself, doing some sport, doing some healthy life, because during the week we taste a lot of wines, we eat different hours, and so you try to do a normal life, let's say, when you're off.
Okay. What are the things that you like about being a sommelier?
To be a sommelier, I think, is an art. It's an art, but the things that I really like is to please the customer, because I leave the hedonistic part of the sommelier away, and I try to make my customer happy, asking 3, 4, 5 questions and arrive at the point, instead of impose my thoughts on wine.
Yeah. You said 3 or 4 questions. Do they differ for each customer, or is there any sort of key things you ask?
Yeah, sometimes they're different, but definitely when you ask 3, 4 questions, you are able to cut the wine list in 2, and then 4, and then 8, and then you arrive at the point that the customer want to be in that moment.
So what are some of the questions that you would ask a customer?
But it's a very simple question, because in my career, I learned one thing. The sommelier can be like a politician sometimes. He speak very difficult and nobody understand you, because our customer, they are not sommelier.
Yeah.
When we are between sommelier, we speak technically. But when you are with the customer, you need to speak as simple as possible. And what I ask is very simple question, like white, red, you want Italian or some other wine region, you like full body, medium body, you like on the fruit or a little bit more dry and tannic. So from this kind of question, then there are a lot more questions that didn't say, but from this kind of simple question, you arrive to the point that the customer want to go.
I noticed you didn't mention the word price.
Price, of course, when you are there in the with the customer, you don't know what you have in front. For me, price is very important, because the restaurant is always busy. You need 1 month, 2 months and a half to book the table. And we don't need to upsell, because it's always busy, and we actually in a good health. But for me, the most important thing is the customer is happy. Even you get a bottle of 30 euro or you get a bottle of 300 euro. When I arrive at the point, I show a couple of bottle with the characteristic, with different range price, and from that I understand where the customer want to go. And as soon as he pick one something like this, and then I start to give a little bit more option in that range of price.
Okay, yeah, no, because I always think a sommelier is not necessarily a bad thing, but a sommelier is an expense to a restaurant, and they need to justify that expense, and one way to justify that expense is to upsell. It was interesting, you don't really try and
drive. Maybe in corporate, yes. In the way I see the hospitality, no. Because sommelier is something that is like Maradona. You don't need to put in the scheme of the, you just let it free to work. And I do like this with my collaborator also, because when you have some talented guy standing in the floor, and you cannot put in the cage and tell him you have to do this, you have to justify that you pay, so you help, you do the commie of the waiter. No, I leave him doing what he like to do it.
Yeah,
and I think for the personality of the people is the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. If people have got a particular way they like to work, getting them to work that way gives them the most job satisfaction. And if they've got the highest job satisfaction, you've got the best happy staff. And if you've got happy staff, then you've got happy customers.
You know, you are from UK, no?
And I'm from New Zealand.
New Zealand.
But I live in the UK.
And so, you know, the meritocratic system. And I like meritocratic system. When somebody's a sommelier, because he study a lot, he research a lot, so he's a management level, so he need to be free to express himself.
Okay, now that sounds good. All right then, one question I've got for you. I went to Hong Kong probably five years ago now, and one of the people I spoke to about food and wine matching, because I look at food and wine matching, there's like the French view, which is all about harmony and things complementing each other. And when I was in Hong Kong, one of the people I interviewed said, you know, that's great, but if I order a hot spicy dish, I don't want a semi-sweet wine to take the edge off the heat. I want something that's hot. And he was like, you know, sometimes in Hong Kong, people like juxtaposition. They like things that actually clash to enhance things. Where do you stand on that? Because you're a traditional Italian type person, but at the same time, you're working in this environment where people can be a bit out there.
But I think a lot of sommeliers, they try to impress nowadays in the pairing of the degustation. Me, I like to go classic. I like to go easy. And with wine, always with a good freshness, acidity, and something not too dull and something that doesn't overtake the flavor of the food, but just accompany the food. This is very important. Sometimes I go in some restaurant, the degustation, they have some big wine with some big main course already, and I really don't understand, because already a big wine, a big red wine with a big plate of beef, it just overwhelmed myself, and the digestibility, it doesn't respond to that pairing. And so me, when I eat like a sort of, for example, a beef, it's like here in Tuscany, with beef, we drink medium plus Chianti with good acidity to cut through the fat of the meat. Yep. Not a very big, for example, Cabernet Sauvignon or Malbec, even though there are some of them that you can pair it.
Yeah, yeah. But that makes Barolo quite tough to
Barolo, no, Barolo is not tough with the Italian food because, for example, now we are in white truffle season, for example, so we have a risotto, which is quite rich plate, and the tagliolini with egg and butter. So, and then you can pair very easily with that. Also, Barolo is very good with lamb, with the more... let's say...
gamey flavours.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right then, Marino, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.